Good morning, everyone, and
good morning, everyone online. Yeah, welcome to Columbia Church of Christ. If we've not met yet, I'm Jonathan. I'm the family minister here, and really excited to be with you all today. To start out, we have a deacons and elders meeting right after church, so if you're deacon and elder, stick around. And second, we have our pumpkin carving event this Wednesday. This is going to be really good. Joel has donated pumpkins, and we are so thankful to that. And I think it's going to be really good. We're going to be watching It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. And then we have this big backdrop. So after the kids carve their pumpkins, they can get their picture in front of the Great Pumpkin Patch. I'm super excited about that. I think it's going to look really cool. So, yeah, it's going to be a really great event. So come on out and support our kids. And let's see, November 10th, on Tuesday, we are having a women's meeting. At 7 o'clock, and then Saturday, November 14th, I believe it's at 6 o'clock, we're having another movie night. So yeah, come out to these. We got a lot of stuff going on. Also, as you came in today, there are some signs out here. Those are yard signs for you to take home and put in your yard, and it kind of gets the word out about our church. Because people will drive by and they'll see the sign in your yard, and then they'll, because we have a brand new, I'm so sorry. I always get up here and like I always forget words. The what? Logo. Thank you. Yeah, our logo will be out front. And so as they drive by, they're going to see that and think, oh, that's where that church is. So hopefully we'll be bringing in more people here. Also, speaking of driving, I am needing more members for our driving team for Wednesday nights. Right now we have enough, but we're about to lose some this semester. So next semester I'm going to need at least one more driving person, and hopefully a little bit more, because we're getting some new kids in, and some have said, do you give rides? And so, man, if you would like to serve with us, I would love to have you on our team. Please come talk to me after service. Also, we are having a youth team meeting downstairs, and so if you are thinking about getting plugged in, that'd be a great way to kind of see what we're about and see where you're needed. And there's going to be a video. So I'm going to get off stage and let the video play, and then I'll get right back up.
Their lives. MOVE is CIY's event where every year tens of thousands of high school students are clearly hearing Christ call on their lives.
Students in states like Oregon, California, Florida, and Maryland. More than 30 different events every year, all summer long.
We've invited them into experiences that show them what it means to be a part of something bigger.
We've introduced them to ideas that cut to the core of who they are and what they were created for.
MOVE is a week your high school students will never forget.
But MOVE is about more than just an event.
It's about sparking a movement of students who are committed to kingdom work.
It's using your talents and abilities. It's leveraging your influence, even your future career,
to spread the message of Christ. Thousands of students leave MOVE every summer ready to do just that.
When Jace Malik heard the call at MOVE, the high school football star returned home and lived a life that showed what it meant to be a Christian on and off the field.
I was going through the phase where I was changing from being all about myself and all about football to being about God and His work.
When Annie Koning committed to kingdom work at MOVE, she decided to use her talents as an artist to host an art show. The money she raised helped feed hundreds of orphans in Mexico.
Let's be a generation who stands up and fearlessly approaches the world with the God of the universe at our backs.
When Jordan Barlow accepted Christ's call, she committed to using her talents to help overcome the world's water crisis. She moved from Oklahoma to New York City and graduated from King's College with a degree that will help her affect change on a global level.
God, your faithfulness just shines through all of this. All I had to do was put one foot in front of the other and trust that you would take me there.
These stories show that MOVE is more than just an event.
It's more than just something fun to do during the summer.
It's a place where distractions are removed, so you can clearly hear Christ's call in your life.
MOVE is a place where Jesus asks you to join Him in changing the world.
The only question is, will you answer the call?
Okay, So that is our Christ in Youth event that we did this summer. But because of COVID, we had to do it here. And, man, we saw a lot of really cool stuff happen just with the three students that we had, just doing it right here on campus. However, CIO is hoping to open up their doors to the other college campuses around. We have 8 spots so far. 3 of those spots have already been taken, so we have to have 2 of those for adults. So the 6 spots for students, half of them have already been filled. We would like to fundraise and be able to send kids to move to where they have as little cost as possible. We're asking that they give us about $50 just to hold their spot. But with that, I want to do some fundraising stuff. And before it gets too cold outside, I'd like to have a work day this Saturday. So it's on Halloween, but it'll be around 9 o'clock, and we can go till 1 or 3 in the afternoon. So the students that are wanting to go and have their spots filled, they're going to come to those work days. So if you have some work that you would like done at your house or know someone who needs work done at their house and would be willing to donate to our Christ and Youth Fund, there's a sign-up sheet outside of Jan's office on that bulletin board. And, yeah, we would greatly appreciate that. And we will do whatever you need us to do. And there's going to be more of these coming up, work days or dinner events, that kind of thing. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get service started. God, thank you for bringing us here today. And Lord, just please be with those speaking and those leading worship today. And lead through them, speak through them, and reach as many people as we can. In your name, amen.
Thanks, Jonathan. Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning, the visitors we have this morning. We're going to sing to the Lord.
Faith.
Tried to cord this out because we thought it was recorded and it's not. Fill-in piano player. Okay. I don't know if he wants the job or not.
Apparently that's one button I haven't learned to push. Okay, here we go.
my call. You right my wrong. You break my chain. You overcome. You gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? Yeah, how can it be? I've been hiding, afraid I've let you down. Inside I doubt that you still love me. But in your eyes there's only grace now.
Sin was great.
what a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of
much that we can be in your house this morning and with others of like faith, Lord, and lift up your name in praise. We thank you for the freedoms we have in this country to freely worship you, Lord, and we ask that you help protect them freedoms, Lord, that we always will be able to come here freely and praise your name. Lord, we ask a blessing on our message this morning, that you be with Jeremy in spirit and help him pour out a message into our hearts that we can take out into a lost world. The world needs Jesus. That's obvious. The world needs Jesus. Let it start with us, Lord, to proclaim your name to a hurting world. Lord, again, we praise you and we bless you for the blessings of this past week and the blessings of our family and our friends and our loved ones. And we are so thankful, Lord, for this time, the time of the harvest, and we see you in the fall colors, and we see you everywhere, Lord, and we praise you that you're here with us, walking with us every step of the way. Bless this service this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy name.
Amen. You may be seated.
I got to thank Tim for that prayer before our last song because it fits right in with my comments. Aren't we blessed to be in a country where we can come and worship God freely? My comments, I mentioned it to Jeremy a couple weeks ago. I was looking at that flag that hangs in the foyer, that 1040 window where a lot of Christianity is discouraged or persecuted, and I did some Google searching, and I found that there is actually only, I think it was just one country, and it's one of those stands. I can't, you know, there's too many of them, but where pretty much all religion is discouraged. But for the most part, it's Christians in these in a lot of these countries that are the ones that are persecuted or shunned or whatever, however you want to put it. But when you think about it, you know, why would it be just one that would be the one that would be persecuted? And this all led me back to about a year and a half ago. I was talking with my mom after church one Sunday, and it was after Josh had resigned, and I wanted to be the one to tell her so she knew what was going on, because I knew that Mom prayed for the youth a lot. And I told her, after I told her, I said, "Mom, what are we doing wrong?" She goes, looks at me, and we're straight in the face and says, "We're not doing nothing wrong. We're doing it right." Said, "That's why Satan's working so hard, because we're doing the right thing. That's why in some of these countries, we have to pray for these people in these other countries, and we need to help them so they can spread the word, because Satan is working so hard, and we got to teach him what is right." Thank you. I'm supposed to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to this time of communion, Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds and help us to realize the sacrifice that you give us, and help us to sacrifice for others. Lord, we ask that you would always be with us and guide and direct us always. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Back. Come to prayer time. First, sorry I wasn't here last week. It was precaution because my boss had the COVID and we had all been around him. So I just decided it was easier for me just to, I didn't want to take a chance on, I'd hate to get Rosie or Roger sick. Somebody'd shoot me. But you would, yeah. And I deserve it, probably. But everybody in our house is good, and Dave will be back to work Monday, so everything's good. Okay. I have one prayer request from Diana Keller for Lori Henderson, her daughter. She is over the COVID and back to work. Thank you for your prayers. So that's a praise. All right. And we have on the prayer list, I see here where there are people that have been exposed to COVID and or has it. Now that I know somebody personally, you know, I know Dave was sick for a couple days, but he bounced back. It took a while. He said Friday that he was a little foggy. He popped in the door just long enough to say that he's going to be back Monday. But I pray that everybody, that if somebody does, you know, that they can recover without the major problems. But I want everybody to look through your prayer list. There's a lot of them here. I will say that for Connie, my wife, her MS issues with her medicine are starting to get a little bit better, but the blood clot in her behind her knee has returned. So if she said that she may have to go to the doctor tomorrow morning. So, but let's go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with all those out there. We know there are prayers, requests, the people that are hurting and all that have not been mentioned. Lord, we ask that you know what these are and that you will meet these needs. Lord, we thank you for answered prayer. We thank you for healing. And we ask that you would continue to shine your light and your love upon us. Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. It's kind of weird being the first good morning instead of like the third or second or third good mornings. But thank you, Jonathan, for filling in this morning and making those announcements. I hope you all mark your calendars, especially for Wednesday. We won't be doing Bible study because we'll be helping out with the pumpkins. And if you want to get your picture taken with a pumpkin, I'm sure my crew would let you jump in on a picture. So come join us for that and see the great pumpkin as well. We're so glad everyone is here this morning, and we're going to continue our walk through the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to hit a very important question today, and we're going to get there in just a minute, but we're going to look at this, and we're going to look at what does salvation mean. We've looked at the Gospel, we've looked at Jesus being a servant, so now we're going to look at what does salvation mean, because we're starting to get closer and closer to the end of the book, to the climax, if you will, to the big point of the gospel. So if you would, open to the chapter 10 in the Gospel of Mark. And as you open that, I want to share an illustration that one of my favorite pastors shared, Paul Washer. And I want you to really listen to this, because this is the way that the world thinks. And we're going to see that here in this scripture. And he tells this example. Say, for an instance, you're an interviewer, okay? And so you interview an Orthodox Jewish man, and you ask him, "Sir, if you were to die tonight, where would you go?" "I would go to the way of the righteous. I would go to paradise. I would go to heaven," he says. You say, "Why?" "Because I love the law of God. I seek to obey the law of God. I seek to keep the law of God. I am a righteous man." Pretty good answer. So then you go and you interview a devout Muslim and you ask him, "Sir, if you were to die tonight, where would you go?" "I would go to paradise," he says. And again, you ask the question, Why? Well, he says, I love the Quran. I obey the Quran. I have made the pilgrimages. I give alms. I say the prayers. I am a righteous man. Again, a good answer. Let us pray. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory for who you are. Thank you that we can come to your word and that we can walk in it with like-minded people, that we can sit at your feet and that we can hear your truth. Lord, as it goes out, Lord, let your go deep in our heart. Put your angels around this place that it may not be plucked away, but that we may learn from it, that we may grow in it, and that we may share it. We praise you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we are going to ask the question. We asked it last time. How do you see Jesus? Because how you see Jesus determines how you respond to Jesus. And last time we walked through that. We looked at the three aspects of the gospel, starting with Jesus asking that very question. Who does the world say that I am? Followed up by, who do you say that I am? And we know as we look through that, Peter immediately jumps up and he says, you are the Christ. The church answer. But as you keep reading the chapters, you keep walking through that incident, he really didn't understand what he was saying. So Jesus shows it to him. He gives him the gospel message presented. He presents it with the transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appearing with Jesus. And then he goes and he gives the message, this is what the Christ is going to do. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to die. And this is how we know all of this is going to happen. And Peter eventually catches on to his answer, you are the Christ. So who do we say Christ is? Who do we say that Jesus is? Because how we answer that question determines how we respond to him. Because the biggest question, the whole reason that he comes is for salvation. So we're going to look at man's traditions versus God's truth. And we're going to look at two sections here. And we're just going to look at the black and white. I'm not going to get into we're just looking at the black and white, like we said at Sunday school. It's what God's Word says, and we're going to leave it there. but let's start with these two big examples. The first, we're going to look at verse 17 of chapter 10. And verse 17, it's a very familiar passage that we all are familiar with, and it's in a couple of the other Gospels as well. Starting at verse 17, and as he was setting out, on his journey, this being Jesus and his disciples, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all of these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. And said to him, well, you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. Now we're going to look at this a minute. What was the question? Was this a negative question that was asked of Jesus? It was a simple question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? It's a question that a lot of people ask. But Jesus saw beyond the question. Do you see there's one little word that throws it all off? That one little word is actually a letter. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What are the things that are required of me? What are the checklists that I can go through and I can mark to say, yes, I've done these things. Yes, I've given to the poor. Yes, I've gone to church. Yes, I've put up with Jeremy and his yearly reading through the Bible, and I've checked it off. Yes, I've done. Yes, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Hold on to this rich young ruler for a second. Now we're going to jump up back to the beginning, and we're going to look at another one here. We're going to look at these together, starting at verse 1. Again, Jesus is leaving, and he left there and went to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and crowds were gathering to him again. And again, he was, as was his custom, he began to teach them. The Pharisees came up and, in order to test him, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered him, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this command. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." And in the house, the disciples asked him about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Did you see what the thing was there? Again, there was a little trick. See, they came questioning. The matter wasn't about divorce. The matter was, what could I get away with? The Pharisees were coming to trick him. This is what Moses says. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Can we do this? Can we get away with this? How far is too far? Like we talked about in Sunday school today, we were talking about loving your enemies. The question was, who is my enemy? Well, your enemy is the one that is against you, so your neighbor, well, who is my neighbor? What can I get away with? Define this for me so I can find the loopholes to get around it and away from it. The question wasn't about divorce. It was, what about, what could I get away from? You see, everybody wants a reward. In our house, we have, can I have a treat? Can I have a treat before we go lay down for nap? Can I have a treat for going to the potty? Can I have a treat for taking care of the chickens? Can I have a treat for? I wish I could get a nap, not the treat, but can I get a treat? We all want rewards. You take little Jovi Lynn and she's sitting at the table. Again, her plate is here with chips, with the good stuff. Coming across the room as she's watching the plate with the good stuff, the chips, coming across the room, coming in front of her, she's screaming, "Want chippy, want chippy." She wants the chip in the bag, not what's on her plate. And so you have to gently teach her. We take her off and we walk with her and say, "If you don't stop, I have to give you a spanking." "No thank me, no thank you. No thank me, no thank you. No daddy, no daddy." Because she wants the treat, not the punishment. We all want a reward. And what is the ultimate reward? What is the ultimate thing that we want? The ultimate thing that we want is eternal life. Nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to be in pain forever. We want to be free. We want to enjoy. We want eternal life. If you go and you look up the other religions, the Jewish people believe that life with God based on keeping the law, that's eternal life. That's how we get this eternal life. My treat for keeping the law. The Muslims believe in paradise. They believe, and so if you are martyred, if you martyr yourself, that you will get 72 virgins. That's your treat for martyring yourself. The Jehovah Witnesses believe in 114,000 will be saved, but they don't believe that God picks those. It's a random luck draw, so you have to live the way that they choose to get this eternal life. We all want eternal life. But what are each of these things based on? What do we base them on? If you look back at Paul Washer's example at the beginning, it's, "I have kept. I seek to obey. I love. I have made. I have given. I say." You see, man tries their hardest to I. If you don't believe me, go back again and look at the little kids. I'm going to get in trouble for this one, but Eden comes out of the bathroom. Happy as can be. "I knew poop and pants. I knew poop and pants. I pooped and potty." Good job. Chocolate chip. Chocolate chip. "I pooped and potty. Chocolate chip." She wants that reward. Because I did what was right. What is the rich young ruler? The rich young ruler says, "Teacher, I have kept all of these things." The Pharisees We have done all that Moses has required of us to do. Again, how do we see Jesus? Because see, if we look at this, the Pharisees saw Jesus as a teacher. He knew the law. He was a religious man, but he was also sort of a radical. Or is this man on our side? Is he against us? Where does this man fall? Because everything that he does, everything that he's about, seems to be about God. He points people in the direction of God, but we've got to sift him out a little bit. So let's trick him. See what his answers really are. So they are sifting him. They are tricking him. They don't see him as the Christ. They don't see him as the Son of God. What is the rich young ruler? The rich young ruler comes, teacher. Not only teacher, but what? A good teacher. And Jesus says, there's none good but God alone. How do we see Jesus? How do we see Christ? Is he simply the good teacher? Is he simply a man who comes with good ideas, did wonderful things, inspired people? Because that's what these people were looking at. This is how they saw Jesus and they responded. What can we do? What must I do to get eternal life? But the answer is a lot simpler than that. Because see, how did Christ respond to these two individuals, or this individual in this group? To the rich young ruler, it says Christ looked at him and what? He loved him. Christ looked at him and he saw this guy, and this guy is trying. He's doing everything the right way. And he's right there. He's right there, just that last step. Come. He loves him. He saw the intentions of his heart. And the intentions of his heart were what? I've done these things, but. Because Jesus says, go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have your treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Give it all up. Because you're going to lose it anyway. You're going to die and you can't take it with you no matter how hard you try. You can be like those people who are buried in their car and covered up because I'm not about to let the ex-wife get the car, so I'm going to be buried with the car because I love my car. You can't take it with you. It's going to rust. It's going to fall apart. You're going to fall apart. It's worthless. Give it up. But this man could not. You see, Jesus comes with these simple words, go, sell, give, come, follow. Go. Go. Put action to it. Let go of the thing that you hold most dear. Give to others. And then come and follow. See, we have to put self away and take up Christ first. But do we trust that? As Sunday school was talked about today, do we trust that? When we love our enemies, are we willing to put away what we feel? Are we willing to put away the wrong that was done to us and just trust God and say, I love you. It's hurting, but I love you because God told me to love you, and I'm going to make that step to make peace no matter what you did to me. But do we trust God into taking care of the situation? Do we trust God enough to let things go? Not necessarily financial things. Are we willing to let things go? To come, to follow. Because 1 Corinthians 5:17 says that the old has passed away and the new is coming. We have to let go of things. You can try as hard as you want, but those favorite shoes of yours eventually don't fit anymore. You can keep pushing and be like Cinderella's stepsisters and try, but it doesn't fit. You have to let it go to get the pretty new ones, or handsome new ones, as Oliver would say. We have to put it away. Are we willing to put self away to take on Christ? The young, rich young ruler was not willing to do that. What he saw, what he had, everything was good, and I'm not going to take the chance. There is a glimmer of hope to this rich young ruler. History, not factual history that's written down, but history sort of has said that Barnabas was this rich young ruler. And if you know who Barnabas is in the book of Acts, and Barnabas gave everything away and said, give it to whoever needs it. And he became one of the biggest missionaries with Paul there was. They say that he was the rich young ruler, that eventually, I guess, it stuck in his head and he couldn't let it go and heard Jesus rose from the dead and, what is this but stuff? And he gave it away. Again, we don't know if that's true. We won't know until we get to heaven, but hopefully that is true. Now the Pharisees, Jesus responds to the Pharisees by asking, what did Moses command of you? Because see, they were looking to the law. It was funny today, somebody said, show me where it says, and I'm going to use my name instead, where does it say that Jeremy has to do this? Where does Jeremy have to do this? It doesn't say anywhere. Even in the book of Jeremiah, it doesn't say, unless you go to King James. You go to King James, it says Jeremy, which we don't use the King James, so I'm good there. But it's good. But it doesn't say Jeremy, so I'm good. The Pharisee was just saying, where does it say? So Jesus went back and says, what did Moses command you? You want to throw the law, you want to look and pinpoint it. What did he say? You see, Moses pointed to God. Moses looked to God. So what did Moses say? Moses said what God said. Well, what does God say? You see, Jesus says he wrote because of the hardness of your heart. He knew that you were after your own good. And so he wrote these things. But God, what does God say? God says, from the beginning, all the way back in Genesis, it says God made them one. So if you want to be looked to be justified through the Scripture, then you have to look at Scripture. And what does Scripture do? Scripture doesn't justify you. It justifies God who justifies Christ. And it's in Christ and through Christ that you are justified. But it's Christ. We're just the benefactors. You see, my man wanted to do as he pleased. He wanted to divorce for man's sake, but God saw it as one flesh. It's kind of like this. God saw this. It's a box. And it's one, right? But man, I got a better use for this. I'm going to take it apart. And I can put something in this end, and who cares about that end? But what happens if I carry this in the rain? What's going to happen to whatever I put in here? It's going to get wet. If I put something valuable in here and I set it here and I leave it alone and I walk along and leave it for a couple of days and someone comes along and sees something valuable, what are they going to do? Just reach on in there and it's gone. But if I put the top, put it back to the way that it is supposed to be and I leave it there, it stays dry. Whatever I put in there is protected because it looks like a horse or a zebra. It's a zebra. That's the way God sees. Man wanted to, oh, well, you know what? I don't like the way you make my eggs. Bye. I don't like the way that this did this. Bye. I don't like. Bye. Man was trying to get around the system. Find the loopholes. But he says he sees one. So he says in verse 15, truly I say to you, whoever does not see the kingdom of God like a child does not enter it. It's interesting that this child is thrown between these two sections. Why do they throw the children in the middle? Because what does a child do? A child believes you when you say something, right? Most of the time, until they get older, most of the time they obey when you tell them to do something, right? Without question. So we have to come to the kingdom of God as children, obeying when it says to do something, when it says to love, to give, to do good. Do good to those that hate you. We're not to question it. As a child, we're to look at that and we're to say, you know what? God said that, so we do it. Children accept that which is offered. You get a cookie when you eat your carrots. They eat the carrots real quick, don't they? Because they want that cookie. Real quick. What did Jesus say? He said, believe the gospel and live. How do we get eternal life? Believe the gospel and live. We've got to get rid of the what did I do's. We have to believe. See, there's another part of this story that I gave you at the beginning. We interviewed the Orthodox Jew. We interviewed the Muslim. Now we interview the Christian. Sir, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? I would go to heaven. Why? Well, he begins to tell you some things that you're not going to understand. He says, I was born in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. I have broken every law of my God, and I deserve nothing from Him but His wrath and His judgment. So you stop him and you say, whoa, hold on here. I'm not understanding this. You see, the other two men, I can understand. They're righteous men by their deeds, what they have done. They have read their books. They have kept their laws. They have given to the poor. They have done. They are righteous men. And they've earned their right to go to heaven. But you, sir, you're a contradiction. How are you going to get to heaven if you claim no virtue, no merit for yourself? And the Christian smiles because the Christian understands who Jesus is and says, I will go to heaven based on the virtue and merit of another, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. We've got to come to a point where we go to that old hymn, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. How do we have salvation? Because Jesus purchased it. Jesus did it all. All to Him I owe. Nothing but the blood. All our deeds are worthless. All are worthless because He and He alone paid it all. And we have to come to Him and we have to say, Lord, I am nothing and You are everything. Help my unbelief. And He will restore us. He will bring us in. He will cleanse us and He will make us whole. And then we are to walk in obedience to Him. And when we're asked, if you die tonight, where will you go? Heaven. And they say, why? Well, we can say, because Jesus did it all. Let us pray. Lord, we give You praise and we give You glory for who You are. Lord, help us to see these two incidences. The Pharisees looking for loopholes. The rich young ruler looking for how I can do it. Help us to see ourselves there, Lord, and then repent of it, knowing that it's only in You, through You, by You, that we have eternal life. Help us to obey You because we love You, not for a treat, but because You're worth it, because You've done so much for us. You came to this earth. You let Your creation abuse You. You poured Your own wrath upon Yourself. And then You came and You offered eternal life freely. And all we have to do is believe it. Lord, we praise You. We thank You for that. Help us to believe. Help us to glorify You. Help us to share it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jeremy. It's tough to add to that ending for invitation time. Jesus. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Praise God that someone like me can see my Heavenly Father's face because he sent his Son to cover all the sins in my life. That's an amazing thing. That's amazing grace. Jesus died for us. Our righteousness is in Jesus. And you got to get rid of the I and replace it with Jesus. We're going to have a song of invitation. If you need to know who this Jesus is, if you need to know more about that amazing grace, please come forward at this time. Stand up. Again, we come into your house thankful that we can be here this morning to hear your word, Lord. We pray that we do as little children come to you, Lord, and not question what you have to offer, not to question your grace. We thank you, Lord, for our families and our church family and our loved ones and our many, many blessings, Lord. And we ask that you safely bring us back here again, Lord, to sing your praises and to hear your word, Lord. Help us to go out this week and proclaim the name of Jesus. We love you and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.